nothing.
Well, sort of. All right. There we go. Drinking water. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
It's been a thing, hasn't it? I guess a number of people still can't drink the water coming out of your taps. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, right. So you got enough drinking water? And if I need any?
Yeah.
Right. Fortunately, and thank God, there's been plenty to go around, hasn't there? So as I was, you know, meditating and praying about the message for today, I wondered, are people sick of talking about the storm? Are you getting tired of it? You know, is that the way that I got to go, or is there a different way? You know, its effects are still going on, and we're still, you know, having to do things because of it. I mean, even Father David, he doesn't have internet.
I know.
But yeah, you know, first world problem. Yeah, exactly. You got it. And I started asking, okay, is there storm anxiety out there? Because Amanda brought it up. You know, are people, you know, like it starts to rain or the wind blows, so you get a little nervous, more nervous than you would have before. You know, there's a shaking head right there. And I think that's a real thing, too. I can't say that I'm going to particularly address this, although I will throw this out to you. If you ever have that problem, go to Psalm 91 that we all just read. What a fabulous psalm. There shall no evil happen to you, neither any plague will come near your dwelling. So remember Psalm 91 if you start to feel that difficulty. So hopefully it was the 500-year storm, right? And maybe we can see this again. So at least 100 years.
Yes.
And that would be a good thing, too. And so these are the things that I contemplated as I was talking with God and asking about that. And then I looked at the scriptures, and the problem is that the thing that jumped out of the scriptures to me were about suffering. And it's like, oh, no, we want to hear about suffering. It's our favorite topic, isn't it? Yeah, somebody loves that. But, you know, listen to Isaiah 53:5, you know, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And, you know, that is that messianic prophecy in Isaiah called the suffering servant. And so it's like, okay, there's that, Lord. Well, let's see what other scriptures we've got. Well, we go to Hebrews. And so in the author of Hebrews writes about Jesus suffering once again. In verse 7 of chapter 5, he says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Which is fabulous. That's a wonderful word. But it's also about suffering too. And that's kind of where I wound up having to go. And obviously, you know, there has been some suffering that's gone on in this region, that's for sure. The word suffering is a very broad kind of word, and it has actually a number of definitions. In Hebrew, there are many different words that are used to say suffering, for what we think of it is, and different phrases as well, too. I can't even go into all of them. But even in English, there are several different definitions for the word suffering. It's one of those words, you know, that has multiple definitions. Okay? You don't believe me? I'll show you. In fact, there are 5 different definitions for suffering. And the first one is to permit or to allow, you know, to give leave to, such as Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement, put her away. Speaking about divorce, he was. And then there's the other one called to put up with or to tolerate, meaning he doesn't suffer fools lightly, right? We all know that one. It also means to undergo punishment. He will have to suffer the penalty. Or to experience or to go through or to endure. A woman suffered many things of many physicians. A woman with the issue of blood. And it means to sustain loss, of course, as well, too. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, from 1 Corinthians 3. And we have to kind of maybe address that today. So that's why I, you know, wanted to bring this up. And we've all suffered some loss recently, and some of us are still going through and enduring, suffering through a time, basically. Things have not returned to completely normal. There's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, we get, and probably you do too, you know, queries from family members in other parts of the country, and they see and hear all this terrible, awful stuff and thinks that it's, you know, still going on. And I think, not sure that it's all actually accurate or true. I don't know if you've come across that too, from the national media. But we've all suffered stuff, okay? And some of us more and some of us less, obviously. There are different degrees of the devastation of the problems that occurred out of this storm. At our house, you know, we got off very, very lightly. You know, we're very fortunate. We were only without power for 5 days. And when the power came back on, the water came back on because we got a well. And we had a tree fall near our house, but it didn't fall on our house. It just kind of tagged the power poles and pulled it away from the house a little bit. And, you know, that was easy. And, you know, even though we had to go to the creek to get flush water and use the camp stove to cook, we really didn't lack anything. We bought some food that thawed out. Yeah, big deal. And we got a lot more tired from having to haul all that water back and forth. I know you guys know about that. Because a gallon of water weighs 8 pounds, right? So if you have a 5 gallon, you know, bucket, that's 40 pounds you're able to haul around. Probably at least a couple of times a day. But, you know, we didn't lose much. We really didn't. And there are many who have suffered a lot more. And I think there are many of you who suffered a lot more as well, too. Each person's experience through all of this has been different. And, you know, it doesn't really make sense to compare. I'm not going to do that. But we all have had to endure a time, haven't we? Suffering, you know, worse suffering, of course, is losing your house and your belongings, or having the water at least come up inside your house and damage it to where it's going to need major restoration. Of course, the worst suffering is losing a loved one to the water. But no matter where you fit into that very oversimplified spectrum of loss, we all did lose something, and we endured tough times, right? So it's okay to talk about that. There will come a time when we don't talk about the storm anymore, but right now. So to experience or to go through or to endure is probably one of the best definitions of sufferings, you know, that we experienced during the storm. And, you know, things were harder with no power or water. You know, many of the things we rely on weren't there, like groceries and gas stations and roads, not to mention lights, you know, at night and internet, and running water, you know, the thing that we need, and drinking water. And suffering loss is the other thing that we noticed. You know, people did lose food and homes and belongings and cars and lives. And that, you know, there's no trying to minimize that. It was very difficult and still is for a number of people. And this hurricane suffering may still not be the worst suffering that you've ever experienced. In fact, knowing you all, I can imagine that it's not. And, or that you may even still be experiencing in your life right now. But it's important to remember that either of those types of suffering produce something. Something comes out of this. It's a good thing. Okay? A lot of you know Romans 5:3 that says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. So it does provide something. It does allow something. It does grow something, basically. You know, perseverance, that suffering produces perseverance. It makes us steadfast. It makes us tenacious. You're like the moss on a rock that can't be peeled away, you know? Those lichens, you know, that grow so hard, you just can't peel them away. You're more certain of who you are because of it and where you're going. You know, we dig our heels in with that shield of faith, you know, sits straightly in front of us. You remember, and I think of the Roman phalanx of soldiers, you know, those shields are huge, and they would use them as complete protection around them. And you could stick that thing in the ground and just stand right behind it, and nothing can get you. And that's the perseverance that I'm talking about that grew and grows in you. Suffering increases faith. We go through this and we see how many ways God has looked out for us. And I know a number of you have looked at it with those kinds of eyes. Seeing with the eyes of faith, we can see good things that came out of great loss. We see people help each other. We see good of human nature coming out just naturally because all the other things have been kind of stripped away. We see how if that tree fell just 10 feet closer, it would have caused a catastrophe, but it didn't. We see how things could have been so much worse, but weren't. And we see how to move forward, persevering in life and faith. We don't dwell on the past and what we lost. And those are the eyes of faith that can do that. Without it, it's very difficult to see that stuff. And other people may have trouble seeing that. But that isn't always the way, is it? Sometimes things are different. Chuck Smith is was the pastor of in the Jesus Revolution, if you remember that. I think Kelsey Grammer played him in the movie. And he's the founder of Calvary Church. And in one of his sermons, he said this. He says, "I've observed that suffering makes some people bitter and others better. The difference between bitter and better is the I. If I is inserted, the result is bitter. If you can keep the I out of it, suffering will make you a better person." Guess what the I is that he's talking about? Let's go back to Hebrews 5:7. "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. He was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered." Submission and obedience are things that he learned through suffering. And this is where that I comes in. I, of course, meaning you and me and us as individuals, right? But Jesus submitted to the Father, learned that it's not about him, about I. He learned submission from what he suffered, and he put himself not first, but second. He submitted to the will of the Father. And if we ourselves, us, me, focus on him and his will, we can take the I out of that as well, too. In the midst of suffering, we can become bitter towards God, you know, that can happen. He can say, "I lost this, and this happened to me, and oh, I'm suffering, and look what God did to me." And the result is bitterness. So if you can keep that eye out of it, suffering will make you, instead, a better person. So turn all that around. Instead of seeing what I lost, let's see what God did in the midst of tragedy. Ask him, "Lord, what do you want? What are you teaching me? What is the way forward? I'll do anything for you, Lord, but please take over." In Christ, your answer always should be, "Not my will, but yours be done." You take the I out of it. It goes against all the advertising and marketing strategies that there are out there. You know, it really shouldn't be an iPhone. It should be a phone, right? If you take the I out of it, then it's just a phone. If you take the I out of it, it's just a pad, okay? But, you know, if you're honest about it, really should all, because it's all really about me, right? You understand? It should be a me phone or an iPhone. Where's me phone? Well, I just got a me phone. Where's me pad? But you know, and that's silly, but it's probably more accurate, really, because it's about me. But it's not, is it? It's not really about me. And if I make it that way, I don't become bitter about loss and suffering. Because it's not about me. I'm not going to say it. But it is about the kingdom. It really is. And there are a lot of people who suffered loss. Some have suffered a lot. And I'm not talking about the hurricane suffering, okay? Some of you have gone through very, very difficult things, sometimes health things and other things. But you're still here. You persevere. Suffering has made you strong. Suffering has made your faith stronger. And you cling to the rock like that lichen that just can't be peeled away. The devil would try to speak in your ear and say, look what God did to you. I mean, if he loves you, how could he let that happen to you? He must be punishing you. And he might do it again, so you better watch out. But don't listen to that. See, I even know what the devil would say. You do too, because he's completely predictable. But don't give him an inch. God didn't do it to you. God loves you unconditionally. Suffering is not him punishing you. And he won't do it again because he didn't do it in the first place. It's life. Remember what I preached 2 weeks ago? No, probably not. So that's a rhetorical question, okay? But I told you that the cross that we bear, that we pick up, just like Jesus told us to do, is not a burden and it's not heavy. It's freedom. And it gives us lightness of being. And even though we go through the difficulties of life, and we suffer loss, and we will suffer loss over our lives, God is right there with you through it all. Now you can talk to him at all times and in any circumstance, in the midst of loss. But keep your perspective. You have been freed from the curse of eternal death. And he has prepared a place in heaven for you. Hallelujah. Jesus did the real suffering so that you wouldn't have to. Remember, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crucified for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace were upon him, was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. Now, yeah, there may be times of bitterness. Okay, you can become bitter. It's okay. We all do have those times. Sometimes it doesn't seem fair. And the reason it doesn't is because it's not. Life's not fair. We can get angry at God. It's okay to do that. But to reject God is not the right answer. He didn't do it to you in the first place. Instead, turn to God in those times for strength, for courage, and for the will to persevere. As I said, we're all going to suffer tough times in life and loss at some time or other. But remember, it's not punishment. Remember the Lake George benediction. God is not mad at you, no matter what happens. He's not mad at you. That's what that's called, the Lake George benediction, you know, because he said it at Lake George. You know, nobody wants to suffer, but something good can come out of it, just as Romans 8:28 tells us. You can make all things come together for good. Suffering produces perseverance. It strengthens faith. It makes you strong. Remember, we are not bitter people. We are better people. Amen.